The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now and live in Technicolor on video, of course, on our YouTube channel, it's Paul Hill, full-time investor, equity analyst, the first one of 2022, stocks to follow. Not much news has been out, but on the macro front, Paul, lots of news. But before we get into 2022, let's look back at 2021, because I did say recently, I thought I'd, for the first time in a while, my portfolio value had gone down, I thought, in 2021, but it hadn't. It was just, and I only update my figures pretty much every quarter, because it stops me looking too much at it. But I ended up recording like a 26% gain for the year, even though even though it was my worst performance the last 4 years. I thought I'd make it lost, because the last 6 months was so hard emotionally for me, and the markets seemed to be growing lower, lower, lower. But the first two quarters were superb, and I'd forgotten about those. So it was okay. But we started this year, I was expecting a Santa
26% rally. Is better than okay. I mean, you smashed the market. I mean, just give you an indication, the FTSE All Share was at 11% last year, so you're more than, you know, doubled what the UK overall market did. So and the S&P, I can't remember exactly how much. I think that was 24%. So it's you know, you've done better than both of the indices. So it just shows your strategy, even though you had a painful last part, it did very well.
Well, that's it. It's risk reward, isn't it? I want, you know, a big reward. That's why I invest in microcaps and microcaps only. And when they do tend to be a bit volatile, they're more volatile than the market. And you feel it. So you know, it's happy on the way up, but painful on the way down, doubly so, I think. And that was experienced there. But yeah, but you know, and also I was expecting, you know, a nice rally out of the end of the year. But I'm thinking now, maybe even if you look at it, 2020 Q1 wasn't very good. The last three quarters were very good. 2021 Q1 was good. Q2 started dropping off, and then the last two quarters of 2021 was very painful for me. And now I'm thinking we may have transition of a quarter where we have to get Omicron out the way and all that stuff, and inflation kicks through, and then we know what the central banks are doing before we start to get a good year. But because it started off a bit rocky for me anyway, I haven't really had an upsurge I was expecting. But I'm just thinking we need to get, there's a lot of stuff out there, isn't it? It's macro stuff, like Omicron as well. It's just frustrating. We see these case numbers going up, and that's what the media are focusing on. But we've never monitored any virus or any cold or anything like this as in detail as we have about, you know, the COVID. So everyone's just looking at the figures all the time, obsessed with cases. And I'm thinking, okay, the NHS is stretched, but because one of the policies, people have to isolate, and they isolate, a lot of people are isolating when they're not even ill in any way. And normally, in times gone by, you know, if you're not ill, you go into work. If you are ill, you don't. But these days, people have to isolate. So it's having a double impact, isn't it, on the NHS? And we're seeing that, the fear in the mainstream media being propagated here. And I think it's within January, they're saying a peak will be done within a week or so, and we'll hopefully be coming back down, you know. So maybe after January, some good news. But yeah, at the moment, I'm feeling the market is still like it was at the end of 2021, you know, a bit hard, you know?
Well, there's a lot to unpack there. I mean, I would just say, just when it comes to actually for investors more broadly, when you measure your performance, don't always do it over quarters, and don't sort of like, you know, beat yourself up if things go down, because that's just part and parcel of investing. I would sort of take it over a more broader lens. And I mean, I look at myself over the cycle, over the economic cycle, and I've been sort of monitoring over the last 21 years, and it's nearly 22 years since I've been recording it professionally, and I've done sort of like on average 15%, which I'm frankly delighted. But I've had poor years and good years. I mean, I lost money in 2020. In 2020, I was down about 8 or 9%, and I had a better year last year, up 35%. But the sort of like the average for that period is compound about for the 2 years over, you know, pre-pandemic is 12%. So all I would say to investors is such that your portfolio, everybody goes through ups and downs, and don't lose perspective that you're investing for the medium to long term. You're not there to be, you know, throwing dice on a gambling table. So definitely take a longer term perspective. Now, coming back to the pandemic, I'm with you in terms of there's a lot of scare at the moment. In terms of the UK and the US, then I would say, actually, we're going to look back on Omicron as a bit of a silver lining, because it's ballooned out, obviously, the number of infections. But if we push the clock forward three months, end of Q1, and we've been through the worst of the winter, then I actually think we'll all come out of it on the other side, either triple vaxxed, which will be fab, or alternatively, the people who are unvaxxed will have caught the infection and will actually have some sort of level of immunity. So on that perspective, we could have really seen the back of COVID in the UK and in the US. The problem you get is that there's a lot of supply chain disruptions still, and there will be, as you rightly point out, in terms of the labour market. And that could actually worsen in the short term, particularly if China and parts of Asia continue to take a very strict policy stance on zero COVID. Because if they do that and they actually have got Omicron and it's so transmissible, that's going to be a really difficult one to handle. And we could see supply chain problems going on for longer than anticipated. Now, when it comes to the final bit you were mentioning, when it comes to sort of like what the central banks are going to do in terms of, interest rates, well, I mean, they can't really make much difference in terms of supply problems, because obviously, if China decides it's going to have a zero tolerance, increasing interest rates isn't going to make much difference. But they are seeing, and this is the important bit, they are seeing, regardless of supply issues, really strong demand, underlying demand. And that's their concern in terms of, how that's going to feed through in terms of inflation expectations. So you've still got the Bank of England and the Federal Reserve, who are indicating, despite sort of like increased infections, they are going to lift interest rates from rock bottom levels, obviously, but tighten monetary policy. And if that happens, then you'll probably see a lot of the long sort of like duration assets, the sort of the tech, the EVs, this sort of stuff, and the classic sort of Cathie Wood Ark innovation funds out in the States and NASDAQ, come off and stay weak in the short term. The valuations will drop off. And you've seen that in terms of these sort of Icarus type, sort of like software as a service stocks, the Snowflakes and these which have come tumbling. So I think I'm with you in terms of, it's only been a couple of days in the trading year, and we'll kick off with the corporate earnings. But I am actually looking at a positive 2022. And I think it's going to be more of a stock picker's market in terms of what it has been in the past, where you could have really just thrown anything into stocks, certainly in 2020. And so it really comes down to, as I say, to stock selection.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just thinking of, what's priced in here, because that's how the market works. Of course, the financials are something different, but you've got sentiment and then financials. I think if you look at where we are at the moment, like I said, we're seeing record cases, but in fact, some of those cases have been put together from the new year and all that stuff is catching up, the data's catching up, so there's a lot of cases. But if you look at it, how much worse is it going to get, cases-wise? Because after a while, people can blast into cases, deaths aren't going up, ventilators and all that stuff, ICUs are not that stretched. I mean, you've got a problem with staff. But again, now they have to come back on after 5 days anyway, rather than 10 days now they could isolate for. So I think you're only going to get, sooner or later, knowing the knowns, there's always unknowns. People say, what about new variants? There's always new variants. It's just, variants that are concerned are flagged. Like Omicron was the biggest variant of concern recently. But there's other variants around. There's been another one in France, isn't it, since November, but it's not like Omicron. So there'll always be new variants. But I just think, knowing the knowns, and everyone's focused on Omicron, all we're going to see is we may see another week of sort of cases rising. But once that starts ticking over, like in London at the moment, it's starting to roll over now. I think that's very positive, And of course, you've got the financial issues of, I saw Next release today, and they're saying they're raising their prices and all that stuff, but they're doing quite well. They're going to raise their prices and all that. And of course, everyone panicked about the Fed last time, the minute from the Fed. And I suppose that the bond purchasing program they're going to sort of wind down is scaring people more, maybe. But interest rates-wise, like you say, they're not going to go crazy on it. I mean, by the end of 2022, is it something like less than 1% they'll still be at? So it's not like we're not going back to like the 80s and 90s here. It's literally it's 1%. You know, so
but you did ask at the start of that, you know, this little section, what's priced into the market, and you know, we're talking of an average S&P of around about 21 times for 2022 earnings, and if you increase interest rates, but particularly if the US Treasury goes up, that will drive their borrowing costs of US companies, and likewise in the UK because it has a sort of lift everywhere, and on that perspective, that'll put a drag on corporate profits. Now, how strong, it all comes down to obviously how good your pricing power is. And when it comes to the likes of Next, how much is that going to actually stick, et cetera. So I would say you do have, rather than we've had sort of tailwinds for investors over the last 2 years in terms of monetary policy and also fiscal policy, you're probably going to get sort of, you know, headwinds this time, small headwinds going forward. And therefore, it is becoming a very discriminatory type of market. So I think you've just got to be careful in terms of just keep watching the yields. My view actually is the market has been remarkably resilient in the face of Omicron, and it's come back, and it did so in the States before Christmas. And on that perspective, it's actually looking through it, and it's now trading on the economics. And it's a bit concerned, obviously, there's the tightening monetary policy, as I say, in the States, particularly, and in the UK. And it's more really on the sort of the fundamentals, which is going to be driving it. And we're kicking off with the corporate earnings season, you know, only in the next couple of weeks, and obviously with all the the trading statements. And I think that's really what it's going to be. And as I mentioned to you before Christmas, I've got pretty much plenty of cash. I've recently sold Gilead and Merck as well, so I've got about 30% of my portfolio, just over, which is in cash ready to deploy, because I actually do see lots of really good sort of like small cap opportunities that have been, it's been very much the baby in the bathwater type of syndrome. So it is really sort of keeping your eyes peeled and looking for opportunities. And I'll tell you what was quite funny actually, was that over the Christmas period I did a straw poll of investors and asked them what their top picks were for 2022. And I tipped my hat and a big thanks to everybody who replied, because it was an incredible response. We had 265 companies put forward, and that and anybody can look at that and see the performance going forward. It's on Google Sheets, so you can see that and see how the things are getting on. But we got thousands and thousands of votes across the whole of that, and it gives people a few ideas to run through. And likewise, there's been plenty in the press as well. So, you know, I personally, I'm going to be concentrating on healthcare, tech, and software with that with that cash to deploy.
Yeah, no, I saw that. You know, I did a similar thing for 2 years on a trot a few years back on, so, you know, name your stocks, and of course people pick their own stocks, of course, but it's funny actually, the results at the end don't reflect what the most popular stocks are generally, because you find the most popular stocks generally risen a little bit, you know, because they've got a bit of popularity, people like to buy rises, and so it's the ones not talked about sometimes that do the best, you know. But just talk about that one thing, the US, obviously, you know, it's a different market completely than the UK, and it's what's been frustrating is I've known people who invested in the US and they did well sort of last year, so it's the last half of last year, and my portfolio was just grinding lower. But the US is due a pullback, isn't it? It's just like if this you know, this bond buying program winding down, that's going to do it, isn't it? I think.
Well, it all depends, because, I mean, the market actually is a bit lopsided, actually, in the States, because it's got those FANG stocks. You know, it's got Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, Google, and Facebook, or Meta, et cetera, as it's called, renamed now. And, I mean, just give you an indication, Apple is bigger than the UK GDP on its own. I mean, it's absolutely, frankly, enormous, worth $3 trillion. So absolutely huge. And that, and those, all those stocks have done really well because they've been classed as defensive tech and relatively cheap. They're, you know, on a PEG ratio. I mean, not cheap, but relatively cheap. But below the surface, actually, there's been quite a lot of churn. And many stocks have been battered as well. So the ones which have performed okay in the second half have obviously been energy, which has done very well. Financials has done pretty well also as the yield curve has increased. And it's been those sort of cyclical plays that have come forward. And it's really what is going to be the playbook this year. And I still come back to it. It's going to be sort of like, you know, stock picking. And just the ones, I mean, I've, you know, invested in. I mean, we had news on Amrit Pharma this week that it came out with phase three trial results for its Mycapssa tablet that is going to be helping replace injections for acromaglia, which is basically a growth condition. And that's really good because essentially they've said that the safety profile is the same as the existing injection. And the efficacy likewise is very much similar as well for patients who have responded to that underlying drug. And what that means then is it's much easier for patients to take a tablet rather than having to be injected. You don't get skin irritation and pains and reactions, etc. But more importantly, almost it takes the burden away from doctors having to put these injections into people. So they've got good hopes of that. And it was a backup study. They've already got FDA approval for that particular treatment. This is really for submission and supporting the EU application, which I think goes in Q2. So the reason why I mention Amrit Pharma is that it's got a lot of sort of shots on goal. It's got two existing drugs. It's got that one, the acromaglia one, Mycapssa, and then it's obviously got the oleogel, which hopefully will get a FDA approved some, and may even get EU approved in Q1 as well. So it's got lots of shots on goal, and I'm very, very comfortable that I think, you know, that could do pretty well in a specific healthcare stock in 2022. But now you can only buy the ADSs out in the States. It's been delisted, or just about the shares on AIM are just about to be delisted. So you can only hold these in either a dealing account or in your SIP as well. So that's one stock to watch, that's for sure.
Don't say the FDA to me. The FDA word is a swear word to me.
I know.
It took the biggest hit. I mean, I've adjusted. Anything now, I mean with, you know, Amrit's a bit different. They've got lots of irons in the fire there. But when you have, you're approaching the FDA, a regulatory body, for approval on your product, and literally your future lies in their hands, and they're so unpredictable. And so in future, I reduce my, when it bounced, it dropped by about 60%, then bounced up by about another 30%, I think, or 50%, I think, bounced by.
You're talking about Polarian here.
Polarian, yeah, and I unloaded a few there because I thought, I still believe in it. I still believe there's a huge market there and potential is still big, but I don't want, you know, be on the end of that unpredictable decision again. So I'm happy to buy in after that. And whether it dips after, I don't know. If it goes nuts, maybe I won't. But if I see a dip after that somewhere, then I'll buy in after that. But I don't want to be exposed to that kind of, you know, uncertainty. It's a known unknown, you know. I don't want that. So
what's your cash weighting in your portfolio now then?
Very little. I redeployed it into sort of GTEC and other stocks as well. So within my portfolio. So
You're still all in on equities?
Yeah, pretty much. Because I think, you know what, they've had a hard time of it. They do an uptick, and they're not, you know, most of them are just, they're not overvalued in any way. So they've got good, huge growth potential. And so, I'm sitting and waiting. I don't know how long it's going to take to see this bubbly market again in microcaps, but it's cyclical, you know, so it's going to come, just when, you know, it's just waiting around, thinking. But it's a bit better. I mean, we've had a couple of stocks off the, out of nowhere, Gfinity just jumped like 8% yesterday. I think of no news, nothing. And there's been a seller trickling into that all the time, just, you know, grinding it lower and lower and lower. And I think that's dried up a little bit yesterday, and it bounced. But there's a bit more liquidity in the market, but it's not a bullish market at the moment for microcaps.
I mean, we're only in the first week of January, so people haven't really got back to their desks to a certain extent. I mean, just on the other two healthcare stocks, which actually came out of news, which we've talked about before, was Verici. In fact, it's come out with three pieces of news in consecutive days. So it's really sort of like, driving the commercialization angle at the moment for its leading kidney transplant diagnostics and prognostics. And what it said this morning was that its two lead tests had finished the actual clinical study or the validation study of data collection, and they're now going to be validating that data and analyzing it and then releasing the final interpretation of all the base data by the end of Q1. And that's really important because, one, it's on track, but also I think they've managed to collect more data from more patients across more sites than then originally anticipated. So that will really help when it comes to sort of like clinical evidence supporting the efficacy of these particular tests. And that's been incredible, actually, if you consider, because most healthcare and medical diagnostic companies have been hit by COVID because they haven't been able to get in hospital. So really tip my hat to the management team there. So that was today's news. And then yesterday's news, they said that they'd teamed up with Illumina, who are the world's largest DNA RNA sequencing company. I mean, to do that is fabulous and be one of their lead partners. I mean, it just says a huge amount about the efficacy, a huge endorsement of Verici's technologies to partner with such a world class and giant in this particular industry. So that was great. And then on the preceding day, when was that? On Tuesday, we had both Lung Life and Verici both saying they'd been given the relevant sort of insurance and laboratory codes from the medical authorities. So that all put another step into the commercialization strategy. And I actually think Verici could potentially have a really big 2022, setting up for a real sort of like pivotal year in 2023. And likewise with Lung Life, it's making really good sort of like, steps forward. So both of those companies are worth watching and tracking, that's for sure.
Yeah, and what Verici is Q1, they're saying they're rolling out the commercializing these products, are they? Is that right? Q1?
No. They won't be commercializing it in Q1. They're basically, what they've done, they've just finished their validation study of collecting all the data.
And
what they'll be doing is publishing the interpretation of that data, final analysis by the end of Q1. That's a good sort of like milestone to watch out for, that's for sure.
Cool. Anything else? Do you know, I've been very little, in fact, on Thursday, I was checking the RNSs. I thought, I checked around and think, is something wrong with the system here? There's very little news out. I mean, some big news from Greg's and thing, but I've had very little news. In fact, one of the stocks that I've been quiet on is Biome Technologies. They've got two. I invest in them for the biodegradable, bio-based plastics they've got, and they've got customers building up a pipeline now in the US, especially around coffee pods and all that stuff. In fact, I had a coffee machine bought for me for Christmas, and I know this coffee pods, you've got to recycle them in a special way, so but they're high value. But part of their other business, which I don't know much about, it's induction heating, optical fiber markets, the RF Stanico business, that's very cyclical. And in 2018, on its own, it did $7 million in revenue. Then downturn 2018 did $4 million in revenue. But now they started, and they said for a while, we're getting more inquiries. It seems like this market is picking back up. And they've announced three contracts in the last, month, which is worth £1 million to that side of the business. So that's a nice expected surprise. I didn't see that happening. But if that, upturns and the biodegradable business upturns, I think it could be on for a nice little run here. But they've had problems with supply chains as well. That's why they had a profit warning back, mid of last year, saying most of our customers in the US, it's taken, normally it takes 3 weeks, I think, to ship stuff across there. It's taken 3 months. So that was the issue. So hopefully these supply chains will ease. And now they said they've mitigated this by just taking on a bit more inventory or all that stuff. And so, it's just frustrating, isn't it? But it's nice to have a surprise that from the other side of the business, which I wasn't really focused on, that it's picking up. So if we get the two parts of the business doing well, it's beyond what I thought would happen. So, yeah, cool. But any news?
There's going to be plenty of news next week. That's for sure. When it sort of like kicks off. I mean, I've got Equals next week, which is, should be coming out with a trading update pre-close. Northbridge Industrial haven't got anything planned, but they could announce anything pretty much, you know, any day. You've got probably Boohoo probably coming out with a post Christmas or trading update at some point in
time.
Have
they bounced at all, Boohoo?
They're still 115, and I would say that again over a 3-year perspective, that one's got absolutely plenty of upside. And then, you know, Alico or AlicoSoft, likewise, as they'll have a trading update usually sort of third, fourth week in January, you know, year end sort of stuff. And I mean, they've come down and they're looking cheap and they're a good build tech sort of software company to have a look at. I mean, I would be, if I didn't own them, I'd be buying, but I do own a lot of shares already. And then likewise, we've got sort of Rosslyn Data Tech, who should be coming out with some interims at some point in time. And well, let's wait and see what they, you know, what they say. So yeah, I've got plenty. And I think obviously Marks Electrical will be coming out with a trading update sometime next week as well for Christmas, you know, the Christmas period.
I'm surprised, but Alico, I didn't really, Alico had come down that much. I've not seen, because they hit sort of, 1.5.
They're below, they're 92 pence.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, the reason why I'm mentioning these names is such that there's incredible value out there. If you've got a long-term perspective, then, you know, you look at these kind of businesses, they've got good, most of them have got very good solid balance sheets and good cyclical growth trends behind them, outside, you know, irrespective of COVID. And then the other ones to sort of like, you know, to keep watching, I mean, we've talked about it before, Source Bio International. I mean, I would say there, I mean, their PCR business is probably absolutely flying. I mean, they had a profit warning. I think it was probably October, something like that, and the shares came off, and that was due to the government changing all the rules on the travel rules, and since then, I bet they've just. I mean, when I looked at the stats the last time for the government stats for the number of PCR tests, it actually increased from October, not decreased, is what they were saying. So I would suggest they've probably had a better than at least their revised expectations. So anyway, they'll come out.
Yeah, at the moment, I mean, I think the government is trying to, you know, stop this, but there's so much testing going on. I did 2 million tests yesterday, you know, and so that's nuts. 2 million tests, and that's a phenomenal amount. But I mean, and of course, if you're positive for lateral flow, you go to PCR tests. So just those numbers going through there, it's just crazy. Part of me thinks the issue we've got there is testing too many people, you know? There's a guy on, there's a professor on us on TV on BBC this morning saying that the ONS do testing, they do surveys. In fact, I'm one of the people they do test. They come around once a month and test. You test people when they go into hospital or they've got symptoms. We don't need to do more tests than that. We've got enough data. We've got too much data, you know, and that's the trouble. The public are now looking at more data than ever, and so it's just more in the news. So, yeah, there's so much testing going on. In fact, I'd say too much, actually, you know. We've got enough data. There's plenty. You know?
Yeah, and then the other one is Avacta coming out with some news on its phase one trial of its pro-doxorubicin drug, which is, you know, sort of like a targeted chemotherapy treatment. So that should come out sometime, hopefully this month. I don't know when, but it should do. You've got Michelmersh again. I mean, they look pretty cheap in the building sector. You know, the premium bricks, they look pretty good. So there's plenty of opportunity. And things like Revolution Beauty as well. I mean, you know, people will be eventually in 2022 going out more, and they'll be requiring more makeup, no doubt about it. So, yes, Omicron may be a bit of a headwind for them. But I think if you look further out, certainly over the next 6 to 12 months, then they could do really, really well. So, as I say, what is surprising, even though the market in perception is at all-time, you know, all-time, well, it isn't the SAP, S&P is at all-time highs. It was recovered strongly. Under the surface, particularly in small cap land, in mid cap land, there's masses of opportunity. And that's what excites me. So I'm just going to take my time and, redeploy the cash. I don't want to hold 30% cash, that's for sure, because with inflation going up, you're just going to get taken out by, you know, by the knees, because every single year you're losing 5% if inflation is 5%. So it's important.
A part of me thinks that they should break up that, you know, come up with new indices in the US, because now, almost like, you know, when they broke up the Premier League from the rest of the First Division, all that stuff, because it just doesn't give you a true picture of where things are, you know? It's like that those big five companies there taking up 20 or 25% of the entire S&P, because, you know, you see that flying at all-time highs on the NASDAQ, you think, that doesn't feel to me like anywhere near the same. I don't invest in US stocks anyway, but it's a completely different picture over here, you know? In fact, you know, there's so much data in the US. I think in this country, we need more data on smaller microcap stocks, and because it just, you know, I felt like looking for data and thinking, I think we're in a bear market, the microcaps, but all I'm hearing from America is like all-time highs, and that's not the case. And there's plenty of bargains to be had, and, you know, like you say, plenty of opportunities out there. But, yeah, it's frustrating. In fact, you know, my wife, I bought a Vanguard Life Strategy fund for her, like, you know, a couple of years back, and just forgot about it. And 20% of that is in the top US stocks, 20% is in top UK stocks. That did 20% this in 2021, and just literally, you know, passive investing, 20%. And so,
yeah, not bad. Wow,
I know. So, so it's a tale of two cities, two countries, really. But marvelous stuff. It's a bit downbeat, but I'm reasonably bullish for 2022, because at the moment everything's a bit bearish, you know, and it's been bearish for a while in the space I operate in. What about yourself, Paul? You got tons of cash.
I'm positive on the stocks that I own, definitely, and I'm positive, hopefully, on the way I'm going to redeploy some of them as well, albeit I've had a bit of hit like you towards the back end of the year. But the point is that, you know, as long as you've got long-term time horizons and you're not investing on leverage or margin, then if you go through some sort of like wobbles, the market comes down, or alternatively there's some specific company issues, then you can ride that out as long as the fundamentals haven't changed. So I think the key is don't, you know, lose faith in that principle, the long-term strategy, and invest through the short-term, you know, sort of like, you know, volatility, which could well happen. I mean, I personally expect if treasuries and gilts continue to rise, that's going to produce a bit more uncertainty for investors, which is going to be more unnerving for the market than actually Omicron and COVID, because I think most investors have got your head around that one. And then obviously, just, as you say, it's any unknowns, which, you know, unknown unknowns, which come through, any black swans in particular, you might have something, I don't know, but which comes through from left field. But anyway, even if we don't get that, this still creates some opportunities. And I think if you make sure you don't sort of like get too impatient and start doing things which are suboptimal in the short term, and continue to take that sort of longer term perspective, I think you'll do well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's it. It's just, you're right. If you think longer term, it's just, you know, the emotions of the market. When you see a grinding load again, you think, oh, and it's easy to jump out and be a bit impatient and think short term. But, you know, like I said, sometimes the markets will turn. And when they do turn sometimes, and you've sold at a low, you tend to buy back in at a higher price than when you sold at. And that's how you don't make money like that, you know? So, cool. Marvellous stuff. Right. Listen, I'm making a prediction. Next time we speak, which is in 2 weeks' time, the peak of the Omicron wave will have happened, and it'll be a lot more positive.
In the UK.
In the UK, yes. Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
I would agree.
In England, I think Wales and Scotland may be behind. So I think for the first time ever, you know, I'll say Johnson, but the Conservatives here, or our policy in this country, in England, is the right one, I think. You know, so
I would agree, yeah. Mm, yeah, no, tip my hat to that guy.
Marvellous. Cheers, Paul. Speak in 2 weeks' time.
Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.